Introduction to Chalkface by Australian playwright Angela Bateson, presented by State Theatre Company of South Australia and Sydney Theatre Company in association with Adena Apartment Hotels. Chalkface is set in the present day at the fictitious West Vale Primary School. In this black comedy, school teacher tales are tested to the limit when the principal assigns school terror Hurricane Little to the class of experienced teacher Pat and new teacher Anna. Chalkface runs for approximately 1 hour and 45 minutes with no interval and is presented in the Dunstan Playhouse. The live audio description will be given by Joe Anker and Julie Fielke. Please note that the show contains coarse language, loud noises, adult themes, strobe-like effects, haze and smoke, and the smoking of herbal cigarettes. The matinee audio described performance is Saturday the 13th of August at 2 p.m. with a touch tour commencing at 1 p.m. The second audio described performance is on Monday the 15th of August at 6:30 p.m. with a touch tour commencing at 5:30 p.m. A post-show Q&A follows this performance and will be audio described on request. There are now follows information with background to the play, descriptions of the set, character and costumes, a list of cast and production credits, and useful information. There's a lot of detail on the set. Chalkface takes place in a daggy staff room somewhere in Australia in the current day. Two fluorescent strip lights reveal the staff room floor, half dirty once cream carpet and half grubby ancient linoleum. The walls are dingy faded pale green on the lower half and even more dingy peeling once white paint on the upper half. The walls are adorned with a notice board carrying skew-whiff pinned notes, several sad posters promoting keep calm and keep teaching type of messages, a large set of wooden pigeonholes with teacher's name in bold print and topped with forgotten school trophies. Fading pictures are blue-tacked above a photocopier, an ancient antiquated speaker, an even more ancient alarm, a fire extinguisher, wall phone, defunct clock and two semi-rusted air vents finish the wall decorations. Exit signs glow green and white above two doors. Starting from the left is a portable blackboard, several mismatched casual chairs around a low 1960s coffee table, a sad plant in a pot, and a hat stand holding raincoats and old bags. One chair is upholstered in pale blue fabric with a print of flower bunches on it, and beside this is a very small round side table. Another seat is a double with bright orange upholstery. Just behind these, a door with a glass window and pull-down blind leads into a tiled hallway. To the right of this doorway stands a red-lidded secure disposal waste paper bin, an old desk carrying a black public address PA microphone and scattered papers, beneath which sits the lost and found box. Then the bank of pigeonholes and a second door with a narrow bubble glass window also leading into a tiled corridor. To the right of these are the doors for the female and male toilets. The right-hand side of the set consists of a kitchenette containing cupboards and drawers painted a tired cream, a sink with a hot water unit above it, and a large fridge. A microwave and kettle are squeezed onto the kitchen bench along with hand sanitizer, a big tin of coffee powder, a box of tea bags, old water bottles, and similar debris. Mugs occupy an upper cupboard. A blue and white checked tea towel is thrust through a door handle while the vacuum cleaner leans against a yellow-lined white rubbish bin. The fridge sports a scattering of magnets and a green first aid kit on top. Next to the fridge is a pair of securely locked grey cupboard doors, the stationery cupboard. And finally, the photocopier, a paper shredder, and the requisite stack of boxes of copy paper. Centre stage, two white-topped classroom tables form an L-shaped workspace surrounded by five stackable black plastic chairs, a large sticky tape dispenser, more hand sanitizer, piles of papers, a large staple gun, and assorted bits and pieces are jumbled across the tabletop. Various musical and percussion instruments such as tambourine, rhythm sticks and recorder are used during the play. The teacher Denise arrives with these in a large cardboard box. A xylophone also features as part of the PA system. Other props include two lengths of bunting, a large cake with a very large cake knife, a thermos flask, a guinea pig in a cage, and a guinea pig not in a cage. At one point, Anna and Pat meet inside the stationery cupboard. Shelves of brightly coloured folders, water bottles, packets of coloured paper, crayons and stationery supplies are revealed. In this tight space, Anna and Pat sit knee to knee, almost nose to nose, on cartons of copy paper. Please note that the device of quick visual vignettes is used in the play. Brief actions separated by blackouts build a comedic sequence. These are described with a single word, blackout, separating their quick passage. The song we hear near the end was written by Jess Dunn, composer for the play. Cast and costumes. In order of appearance, Denise is played by Susan Pryor. Denise is a music teacher. Her brown hair is an angled bob cut into the nape of her neck. She has a nervous, scattered energy. She wears a hairband, dangly earrings, a white button-through Liberty shirt with a small floral print, a knee-length dark green corduroy skirt, short socks and shiny beige Mary Jane shoes with heavy black soles. Later, a beige lacy-knit cardigan and brown shoulder bag are added. As the play progresses, the skirt is pulled up to accommodate a growing baby bump. In Book Week, Denise wears a very hungry caterpillar costume. Catherine McClements plays Pat Nowitzki. She has messy dark curls, deep-set blue eyes and a wide mouth. She is clearly depressed, yet still moves quickly in keeping with her somewhat sharp character. She is slender and wears beige pants and t-shirt under a navy puffer jerkin. Metallic lace-ups complete her outfit. Later, a soft rust-coloured sweater with a high roll neck is worn and she carries a large beige tote-like shoulder bag. For the sleepover at the school, she wears a black onesie with white bones printed on it, like an x-ray, under her blue jerkin. It has a white hood. In Book Week, Pat wears an overcoat and padding as the mistress, headmistress, I should say, in Matilda. Douglas is played by Nathan O'Keefe. He appears on stage with his bicycle in cycling gear, including goggles and shoes. His white helmet is emblazoned with blue and red flashes. A black lycra suit with a deep scooped neckline is worn under a tight zippered black top. He changes into a grey suit that befits his status as the principal. His long brown hair is worn tidily in a ponytail and he has a trimmed beard and a moustache. He wears a green striped tie and pale patterned white and green shirt. His socks are bright orange above black leather shoes. In Book Week, Douglas wears a Margaret Thatcher mask. Anna is played by Stephanie Somerville. She has thick, mid-length, blondish locks parted in the middle and often smiles. She looks like fun. She wears a hip-length white shirt under a short-knitted vest in vibrant orange and pale blue check pants. The front of the vest is striped in alternative bands of orange, purple and pale pink. To this ensemble, Anna adds a bright multicoloured flower necklace, fine rings on her hands which have painted blue fingernails. She wears chunky red heels covered with pale blue spots and Cool to Be Kind is printed on her cotton shoulder bag. Later, she adds a long line carding that is checked in large pink and red squares. For the sleepover at the school, Anna wears Dr. Seuss pyjamas and pink fluffy slippers, and in Book Week, she dresses as the Lorax from Dr. Seuss. Filch, the officious administration manager, is played by Michelle New. She's passive-aggressive. Her dark, thick hair is cut blunt at shoulder length and bounces briskly as she walks. She wears a charcoal grey suit trimmed with an oyster-grey silk shirt. The skirt has kick pleats at the back at lower edge, complemented by black stockings and heels. For Book Week, she wears a red cloak and white hat as a character in The Handmaid's Tale. Finally, Steve, played by Ezra Yonta, is a gay PE teacher. Half of his dark hair is pulled up and back into a man bun. He is bearded and has a moustache. He wears a navy vest over a white t-shirt, navy shorts over black leggings with fluoro pink detailing, white socks and green blue sneakers. A black man bag is slung across his body and a wide black elastic support is strapped around his middle. He carries around a pale blue donut cushion. In Book Week, Steve appears as an Angelina ballerina. The mouse mask is pushed back so it sits on top of his head. He wears a pink tutu with a long white mouse tail and ribboned ballet slippers laced with bright pink tights. Lanyards with keys hang around their necks, and the majority also wear wrist watches. Production credits. The director is Jessica Arthur. Assistant director, Clement Rucundo. Designer, Ailsa Peterson. Lighting designer, Mark Shelton. Composer and sound designer, Jessica Dunn. Performers, Ezra Yuanta plays Steve Budge. Catherine McClements plays Pat Nowitzki. Michelle New plays Cheryl Filch. Nathan O'Keefe plays Douglas Houston. Susan Pryor plays Denise Hart. And Stephanie Somerville plays Anna Park. Access information. Audio description delivers a live verbal commentary via a personal headset, providing information on the visual elements of a performance as it unfolds. Headsets will be available prior to the performance from the audio describer in the foyer. Pre-show audio notes will be available to listen to on the Adelaide Festival and Access to Arts websites prior to the event. Touch tours are conducted prior to a live performance. These provide the opportunity for a detailed description of the set and to meet the actors if this is practicable for the production. To attend the pre-show tour, please meet in the foyer 1 hour prior to the showtime. Headsets will be available during the touch tour and from the foyer until the performance begins. Venue. The production takes place in the Dunstan Playhouse at the Adelaide Festival Centre. Access is through the Riverbank Concourse. The Dunstan Playhouse is wheelchair accessible and guide dog friendly, and there are two accessible toilets in the venue. One is opposite the bar adjacent to the space foyer, the other is opposite the main reception desk near door one of the Dunstan Playhouse. Please contact the Festival Centre on 131 246 for details on current COVID requirements and the best access route to the theatre complex. This completes this pre-show introduction. It has been produced by Joe Anker and Julie Fiocchi for Access to Arts. For more information on audio description, please contact Access to Arts by email, audio.describer@access2arts.org.au or telephone 0498 707 563, both voice and text. Or alternatively, speak to one of the audio describers at the theatre. Thank you.